going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. This is our weekly soccer show where we talk soccer all over Atlanta, all over the state of Georgia, all over the Southeast, all over the United States, all over the hemisphere, all over the planet. That's what we do. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Now, I don't really want to talk a whole lot about what happened Saturday night in Chester, Pennsylvania against the Philadelphia Union. I'm not quite contractually obligated to talk about it tonight. I feel like we have to talk about it at least some. I tried to come up with a little bit different perspective to talk about what happened without getting into everything that happened. Try to give a different perspective. So you're going to get that in the second segment of the show. Atlanta United legend Greg Garza is going to be with me talking. We chatted earlier today about a term that I had never really heard about, and it actually makes a lot of sense. We've talked about pressure. We've talked about anxiety and kind of what that's like for players on the field. He had a new term. You'll hear about it in the next segment. I thought it was a really interesting conversation and a really good one with one of the best guys in soccer in this country. He does so much to grow the game, Greg Garza. We do have to talk about what happened. We will talk about Georgia high school playoffs as well. Those are underway. I was at Lassiter's girls match tonight. They defeated Johns Creek pretty big. It was two top 10 teams in 6A girls, and Lassiter won huge. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about other scores from around the state. We'll get caught up on all the news and notes in the 3-4-3, but we're going to start with Atlanta and Philadelphia, and we're going to go backwards to go forwards a little bit. Let's go back to Chester, Pennsylvania. The conversation after the match, the media on hand from Atlanta was Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and myself. We were the ones in a actually very loud, like, auxiliary locker room for Atlanta United in Subaru Park in Chester. It wasn't the best of situations. There were times where I'm like across the table from Ronnie Dyla, and it wasn't exactly easy to hear him. You can hear him well because he has a microphone in this clip. This is, you know, Ronnie on what he wants to see going forward, and I ask him to start the question. I ask him about the reaction from the homegrowns after the second goal. I went back and watched it again. It was a 3-0 loss if you've been living under a rock. Philadelphia beat Atlanta. And the second goal, the two homegrowns on the field at the time, Noah Cobb and Jay Fortune, their reaction jumped out to me watching it live. I went back to watch it again to see if I was missing something or I was overthinking something. And no, it actually jumped off the page even more watching the video back from the tactical cam. I asked Ronnie Dyla about it after the game. Here's what he had to say about the homegrown's reaction and what he wants to see from this group going forward.
Yes, I think, you know, we have to be, you know, in a way also happy that we are in this situation, because we can really change it. You know, it could be much worse. We could sit injured on the sideline, or you could be out of work or whatever. We're here now, and tough times comes in life. And this is when you learn each other and you learn yourself. And then when you come out of these periods, it's really bonding and also building yourself as a human being. So I'm enjoying these phases. It's a lot of suffering, but at the same time, it's only one way forward. That's sticking together, and it's about see the positives in the situation. And then when you bounce back, it's going to be even better.
I want you to remember some of that when we hear from Greg Garza in the next segment. There's some definite carryovers from that to Greg's portion of the show tonight. No, he's not enjoying losing. Don't try to twist it. You're getting into a pretty philosophical comment there from Ronnie Dyla about, it's MLS. You do have opportunities to bounce back. You do have opportunities to redeem yourselves getting into the playoffs. You do. You don't want to fall too far behind. You've got to figure that part out, and you've got to start picking up some results. And more than anything, I think you've got to see better reactions on the field to adversity. And that was something that was glaring to me. I mentioned it just a second ago. Jay Fortune and Noah Cobb were two that I felt like showed the right reactions. And it was extremely noticeable. Here is Jay Fortune from after the match talking about being a homegrown and what it means, and that reaction after conceding the second goal.
It's tough. Losing isn't fun. I think it's been a rough, you know, 3 years for me in my professional career, and I'd like to see this team do really well. I want to win with this team because they give me, you know, my opportunity to play this game professionally. And when you see nights like tonight where nothing seems to go your way, it's really frustrating. But at the end of the day, we have to do what we got to try and do to fight to the end of the game. And in that moment, I just felt like that was just my role at that certain team.
Going back and watching it again and seeing, I think Jay really pick up on the reaction from Noah Cobb in the back. And I thought both of them played well. Jay Fortune started on the left wing and created two chances in his time on the pitch, covered quite a bit of ground in different roles as the game evolved. Noah Cobb started as well. I thought he was very good, made a big play to prevent another opportunity for Philadelphia, and that's where Noah was injured. He did not train today due to that injury. Sounds like more of an ankle contusion as opposed to anything else. Now, it did come out today that Steon Gregerson dealing with a quad injury, grade 2, potentially out for 3 weeks. Tristan Muyamba, grade 2 adductor strain, could be out for up to 3 weeks. That's not what you need, and it's another element to that match that we don't like talking about at this stage of injuries that were very handicapping in a way for Ronnie Dyla and what he could do to change things. You made three substitution windows. You used three substitution windows, all had to deal with an injury. Cobb was in the third one. Gregerson was earlier. Muyamba was next. And it limits you. It limits you in what you can do to change it. What you can do to change it is also down to attitude a little bit. And I asked Noah Cobb about the moment after the second goal and ask him just about what it means to be a homegrown player in this club. Here's Noah Cobb from after the match in Philly.
It's incredibly frustrating. I mean, I've been at this club since I was 13 years old. I'm a fan of this club. I love this club. It breaks my heart. Like, I want to win games. I want to, this is one of the biggest clubs in MLS, if not the biggest club in the league, I think. And it's such a big responsibility to have that. But, you know, I'm not scared of that. The guys in the locker room are scared of that. I think, you know, it's a long season, and there's no time for pointing fingers. We just really have to get our arms around each other and say, you know what, you know, we might just, wow, you know, we have a lot of talent. We might just have to just go in there and just start kicking people and fighting for points and do the bare minimum there until stuff starts clicking. We might just have to say, you know what, screw these guys. We're going to go out there. We're going to stick it to them. We're going to kick them. We're going to fight them. We're going to do whatever we can to scrape and claw for points.
That's Noah Cobb from the match in Philadelphia afterwards. And I'll tell you what, I hope I get to see the day that Noah Cobb is wearing a captain's armband for Atlanta United, because that sounds like a captain speaking. And I thought his actions were those of a captain kind of figure. He's somebody that at times doesn't get enough credit for what he brings to this group. But Noah Cobb is one of the more vocal players in that locker room. Even at his age, it doesn't matter. He has a presence, and to see him go around to multiple players to try to pick them up, to try to get things focused, to try to change the vibe and change the game, that was really impressive to see from a player with his experience level going to players with much more experience and trying to help them change their mindset in a positive way. Really, really impressive from Noah Cobb. I mentioned earlier the training session today and what we found out about injuries. Mateusz Klich spoke to the media afterwards, and this is what he had to say about what kinds of things can help a team get out of this kind of situation. Here's Mateusz Klich.
In training helps, obviously, but the most important thing is having a good win, and one win can change everything. And I've been in teams that we play bad and didn't create many chances, and we hear played, we concede too many goals, we create chances, and we have a good spell. So it's not fair. I mean, it's a result wise it's very bad, but playing wise I think obviously could be better, but we create enough chances to win games, and we have to be more focused, obviously. And that's everyone, that's like not just me, not just 11 players who start a game, like everyone, because we need everyone, and that's it.
It's going to take everyone to help get this team out of the situation that they're in. Look, you start trying to do that in Orlando on Saturday night. It's going to be a game that's on FS1. It's going to be a game that's on Apple TV. It's going to be a game that's on 92.9 The Game as well. Abe Gordon and Madison Greaves will have your pregame coverage an hour before kickoff from Orlando. And I think just seeing the session today, it was a session that was really based around competitiveness, and it was a session that had a lot of competition with, you know, one thing that I always loved as a coach when I had teams was to create that competitive vibe that you want, having three teams, two of them on the field, one rotating in and out. And if you keep winning in whatever the competition is, you get to stay and you get to keep playing. You don't, then you got to get off the field and you got to go sit down. That gets anybody going. And I think I saw that start to come out in some of the players today. It was a good session watching it. It seemed like everybody was up for it, even with the bad news on the injury front. Look, it creates opportunity, and you're going to have guys gunning to replace Muyamba in the midfield. You're going to have guys gunning to replace Gregerson at center back. And we will see what that lineup looks like in Orlando on Saturday. Coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app, it is an interview that I was able to do a little bit earlier today with Greg Garza, Atlanta United legend, U.S. men's national team legend. And we talked about what he's doing with Beyond Goals Mentoring, which is a great organization. Go check them out, beyondgoalsmentoring.com. But also what pressure and what anxiety and what stress is like for a professional player, and how you can kind of manage it, and maybe giving you a little bit of insight on how it can affect a player. That's coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and now I'm joined by former Atlanta United, former U.S. Men's National Team left back Greg Garza. And if you don't know what Greg's been up to since he left the game on the field, he's been giving back to the game in a huge way as one of the leaders of Beyond Goals Mentoring, working with players of all ages and helping them in those next steps in their career. Greg, man, thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule for me tonight.
Thank you for having me on. Absolute pleasure, man.
So it's something that I'm still kind of figuring out in the game, and it's something that I'm sure you're dealing with at a variety of levels and ages. Pressure and handling it and anxiety on the field from players. I don't know if that was something when you were playing, if it was something you were thoughtful about then, or it's something that you've kind of come to after your playing time has ended.
Yeah, I think when playing, the pressure is ever present. It is always there. Now, not playing anymore and not being on the field or in front of thousands of people, or understanding the, you know, the depth of what pressure can be. Even Michael Parkhurst and I, we talk a lot about just how kids are pressured, whether it be from the expectations that they have from their parents at home to do well in school, the expectation that they have from their coach. And this can come just from just as playing as a professional athlete. The pressure is so much more in those shoes. And one thing that I've really learned, even doing a lot of work with the league and speaking to a lot of teams before the season, is that we almost put this word anxiety and even the word pressure, and we use it in a different phrase, and we call it competitive stress. And that is something that now understanding and learning what competitive stress is, man, there are so many factors to it. You have to then think about you are in an environment every day where it's an everyday performance that you have to perform in front of somebody who is judging you. You are competing with your best friends for a spot. You are playing the game in front of thousands of people and fans for money. You are trying to take care of your kids to play for the next contract within the next year. And there's so many different factors that I think competitive stress can come by. And we give great examples within the league of guys who might have some family issues going on, or, somebody might be, passing, or somebody might be sick, or all these different things that can be another layer of pressure and competitive stress. And that guy still has to perform at a high level in front of thousands of people. So there's a lot of things that us on the outside, we are not able to see what these guys are really going through within their personal lives. You have to remember that professional athletes, they can't just take a couple of days off, right? They can't pull an Onana like Amarim and just be like, hey, dude, you need a week. And I wish sometimes it could be like that. But for the majority of these guys who are, playing the sport that they love for a living, that immense amount of pressure and competitive stress is every single day. So that's something that I've learned, actually over the past couple of years, that there are different like levels and factors, especially the external factors, that can determine that competitive stress. And we have to remember as a fan and somebody on the outside that we have no idea what that level of competitive stress that guy might be going through in that moment. And it can determine the types of decisions that they're making on the field. It can determine the types of maybe reactions that they have that they're making on the field. So I think that's a huge piece of it that I've learned now being retired from the game. But sometimes when you see some teams that are struggling at times, you kind of often wonder what might be going through their individual minds, what might be going in the sacred locker room, what might be going on in so many different other external factors that could be connected to that competitive stress and that anxiety.
I always feel like it comes and goes in waves. And sometimes that wave is positive. And sometimes, things go your way. You get a couple lucky bounces, a couple wins in a row, and you're riding the wave on a positive sense. But when it's a situation like a lot of teams, Manchester United has gone through this, Atlanta United's going through it, where results aren't going your way right now, it feels like you're at the bottom of the wave and it's crashing. When you get into a situation like this and you're trying to figure out, okay, how can I get out of it? How can I snap out of it? How can I change the energy? What are the things that either you found as a player or things that you've found and you've seen that, that work for some of the mentees that you work with?
Yeah, the biggest word that I always say is just the positivity that's produced around everyone. What is your individual positivity that you are giving yourself? I always tell people positivity moves mountains.
Yeah,
it truly can. And so, you know, one thing that I would look for in teams that are struggling or individuals that are struggling is what is the positive energy that's been given around them? And what is their personal positive energy that they have in their each and every day? And I think even some of the best coaches, some of the best directors, some of the best organizations that I played for, even in those, you know, catastrophic moments or moments that could be detrimental towards a team's performance at some times, there's someone in that room that is able to produce a high level of positivity. You know, I even use kind of myself as one of those pillars within Atlanta United a long time ago, because I may have not been, you know, one of the key players on the team. But in terms of being a goofball in the locker room and being somebody who could always create a laugh, or being, you know, we'd say not the nicest person in the room, but in a very funny way and trying to always bring people up, make people laugh. That's what I always try to be each and every day. Whether we just had a 4-0 loss to where, yes, it still hurts, but the only way we get out of those situations is by producing some form of positivity to give us hope. If you stay in that realm of negativity, then Parky and I say it all the time, then the only thing you're going to receive is negativity. So, and that's very hard to do, right? Scientifically speaking, human beings, we think 80% of our thoughts throughout our day are negative. So when those negative moments happen, what is the reaction individually, and what is the reaction of those around you that can produce a form of positivity to make, hopefully give a better probability of making things better? When you see teams struggling, that's one of the biggest things that I look for, is what is their reaction at halftime? Do they come together as a team? Are they picking each other up when bad things happen? Because in great organizations that I've been in, such as Atlanta United, I can recall a meeting that we had going into 2018 season, the day after the Houston Dynamo 4-0 loss in Houston. And all it showed, Tata just got a video of our reactions. Our reactions on the field after every single goal, somebody's throwing their hands up, somebody complaining, somebody doing this, somebody doing that. And I think from then on, it completely changed. And that was almost our lesson. Now, he was kind of that guy to put, you know, throw down the hammer and say, okay, look, if you guys continue like this, I'm sorry, you guys have a great team, but it's not going to work out the way that you guys want it. And I don't think we lost two games in a row after that. So, you know, it was an interesting concept. You see all the people and all the moving pieces around that can change little details like that. But yeah, positivity for me is a hard thing to do at times, but still a very necessary component.
Yeah, that mix of personalities is always so important, and you never know how it's going to turn out. You know, you never know, I think, somebody's true colors until you are going through a rough patch and you kind of see how it comes out. You mentioned the pressure that has increased. And that's something that sticks with me, too, is you hear the conversation, you don't have promotion relegation in MLS, so there's no pressure. I mean, ask some of the managers who've lost their jobs because of results. The players are feeling it. Everybody's feeling it. And I think here in Atlanta, maybe because of the size of the club and the size of the fan base and the size of the stadium you play in, that pressure manifests itself in different ways.
It's not an easy thing to do, to play in front of thousands of people, especially for people who are players who have never experienced anything like that before. You have to remember where a lot of these players come from, whether they're playing at a smaller club, whether they've never been in an environment that is such a spectacle within the Mercedes-Benz. That is a spectacle, place of soccer that you don't experience in other places. Every coach, every player who comes to the Benz will always say, this place is so unique and it is just so different than anything we have ever experienced. In regard to maybe our success, I think whenever we had that success a few years back, it was a big surprise to us, but I think we had almost used it from transitioning from Bobby Dodd and having that success from the very get-go and realizing our capability and just carried that over into the bins. And so I don't think there was this transition moment to where it just, we got luck. That's such a huge word. And I think so many great coaches I had use that as well, is that you have to remember you need luck.
Yes.
As well. You need a lucky bounce. You need a lucky deflection. You need a lucky post hit and to go in. So, I look at even the team right now and see a lot of unlucky moments that could have gone their way. Just in terms like that of playing in a spectacle area that is different from every place else. And then also just that little bit of luck that I think sometimes can also, like you said, it can go through its phases throughout a season as well. Tables will always turn, the world goes round. It's the MLS season. And one thing that I think every interview I ever had playing in the MLS for the last 4 years of my career is that you could always say, all you need is one win in this league and things can turn around. It is the longest season of so much travel, of so many ups and downs. There are no constants. You don't look at these three or four teams and be like, these guys are the constant of this year. Everything is always different. Last place team can beat first place team. It doesn't matter, right? And there's so much confusion within that, but at the same time, almost a level of like balance towards wherever you are in the table can immediately change and turn within a few games.
It goes back to that idea of the balance of positivity and negativity. You know, there's always pressure in every game in MLS because you're not that far ahead of anybody else. It's not first versus 20th in the Premier League. It's not like that. It would never be like that. But it's also opportunity. If you're on the other side of it and you're playing a top team, in this league, the margins are much smaller. So if you can find that outlook of opportunity versus dealing with pressure, maybe that can get you through some of these moments.
Most definitely. I think in every player's mind, you just have to always be somewhat close to that playoff spot.
Yeah.
That is something I think even in our minds, whenever we were playing back then, is that was the ultimate goal, because the playoffs are so much different. It's just like any NBA team or any NFL team or any NHL team or, you know, whatever national league we have within sports within the US. The playoffs is a completely different league. It's a completely different tournament. So if you look at every team that is on the cusp of, 3 points away, 2 points away, 4 points away, 5 points away, you're only two games away from being in the playoffs. Right. So that's a pretty darn good, way to look at things. If you are now 6-7 games away from the playoffs, then that would be a moment to where you kind of have to really self-assess, look from an organizational standpoint, from a fan base standpoint, and be like, okay, things need to change. But if you are only two games away from playoff contention, there shouldn't be that much of a worry, because you are very close to where most everybody kind of is in that same ballpark. So that's the way that from a player perspective, you always look at it. All we have to do this year is make playoffs. That's it. I don't have to win the Shield. I don't have to win anything. It doesn't matter, because nobody remembers New York Red Bull winning the Shield that year. Right. Yep. Everybody remembers us winning the cup. And that's the most important piece within the league that all these guys play in.
We overreact a lot in pro sports. It's kind of the nature of it. It's what we do. I do want to end with this, because I'm sure that you are a mentor to a lot of kids who are going into the high school state championships starting tonight.
Yes.
Games on the girls' side tonight in 4A, 5A, 6A. Boys' side starts tomorrow. All the smaller schools the rest of the week. It is different when you get to this time of the season. How do you handle, in your mind, what are the pieces of advice that you give when you're going into a knockout game that can either prolong your season or, in seniors' cases, it could be the last big game that they play in their lives?
Yeah, I always love, and I had a great Argentinian coach that would always say, don't play every game like it's your last game. Play every play like it's your last play. And that was a good piece of advice that I think always stuck with me. And I think that kind of almost determines like the type of player that I was. I was getting stuck into every tackle, making an overlap run in the 95th minute. Even if we were winning 4-0, it didn't matter to me. I was still playing that last play as if there was no tomorrow. So a lot of these things that we tell these kids that are especially going into these, which I love because they're community games, yeah. I almost call them. You're playing for your girlfriend or for your boyfriend or for your 50 friends that are there with their shirts off and got paint on their stomachs and whatever it yeah. is. Right? It's like you're playing for your community. So can you embrace that pressure and almost use it as like just an extra piece of motivation towards, yes, playing every play like it's your last play. I feel like every high school game that I've gone and watched, every little play that happens within the game is celebrated so much, the littlest of details. And it's all your friends. And what better way would you want to spend, whether it be your last game as a senior or your first game as a freshman in playoffs, to have those that are around you that love you, support you. And it's just such a different environment than having maybe scouts or club coaches around you. So I always use it as like you almost get to play freely. Much more freely than you would in a club or a scout environment or at an ID camp or at a showcase. So that can hopefully prepare you for when you do get in those moments. So you kind of have to use the high school games as that, you know, that stepping stone towards what's next in your soccer career or anything that you do in life.
Yeah, it's such a cool moment. I always love this time of year and calling these games. I get so excited and happy for the teams who do well. And it almost brings tears in my eyes to see like seasons end for people because, you know, that could have been like their last big game. It could be something where it's a motivating step for the next step of their career, maybe going to college to play. You're going to get guys who come back into the Atlanta United Academy environment. It's such a cool thing to see this grow. And it's a big celebration of the game in the state. For people who don't know Beyond Goals, give them the rundown real quick. So I'm sure there's a lot of parents out there listening. Kids are playing, they're trying to figure out how to help them. What are you guys doing with Beyond Goals right now?
Yeah, thank you, man. I really appreciate the platform to give us some love. It means a lot to us. We you know, we've been doing this now. It's pretty crazy that we've been doing this now for almost 4 years. It has grown immensely, and we are so grateful for that with just word of mouth and people watching kids grow up into greater human beings. That is our ultimate goal. We are using soccer as and the sport, any sport, as a tool to develop better human beings in life. And they are our next leaders of tomorrow. But things we focus on are components like confidence, coping and dealing with pressure, leadership values, and leadership characteristics for kids to use for the rest of their lives, not only in soccer. And a huge piece of it, which I love and is probably my favorite, is resilience. Understanding that, hey, life is not fair. Life is going to kick you in the butt a lot. The game itself is going to kick you in the butt a lot. Look at professional athletes, what they go through. So there's so many different nuances and little things that we kind of help from a different background and from a different level of experience within the game that we all love and play. But that's it. Building our leaders of tomorrow, helping them understand the value of the mental side of the game that, in my personal opinion, is not spoken about enough. To learn the value and have an edge on the mental side rather than just having a God-given talent at your feet can always speak so many more in much higher and greater volumes in the type of person that you are rather than just how good you are at something. So that's what we're doing at Beyond Goals. And you know, you said something, we speak to a lot of high schools and middle schools as well. The one thing I always tell them before I go is that, hey, remember, especially in these high school games or in these middle school games with playoff contention and just everything that they're living, those are the most moments that I miss as a pro. Those moments that you get to spend together with friends, close loved ones, man, like the banter that you have in the locker room, the jokes and the good times that you get to spend. And for a lot of those kids, I don't think they realize how fortunate they are to have those moments. A lot of kids don't have those moments in high school or in middle school. And you might not ever have those moments again, if that might be your last game in soccer. So how can you make the most of it and kind of cherish those moments that you have with a lot of really good friends? So can't take those things for granted ever.
Make sure you go visit beyondgoalsmentoring.com. Greg, man, we could talk about this stuff forever. Thank you for giving some great insight into that mental side of the game that I'm with you. It needs to be talked about more. It affects results more than we know. And I hope that this maybe gives a little insight into what that's like for athletes at all different levels. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, man. You're the GOAT within Atlanta of soccer information, man. So any question that I have, I'm always looking for your advice as well. So I appreciate you and everything that you do, man.
And we'll be having more conversations for sure. But coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, it's the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. Coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Hopefully you enjoyed that last interview with Greg Garza. I mean, I could pick his brain for hours on end talking about how pressure, how anxiety, how good times, bad times, how it affects teams and players and how it affects results and how it affects a lot of things we see in the game that we don't think about when we're talking about how a team is playing, how a player is playing, what they're going through, all of those aspects. What Greg and Michael Parkhurst do with Beyond Goals Mentoring is such an impactful thing on soccer, not just in the Atlanta and the Georgia area, but all over the country. They have mentees everywhere, and they're doing more and more every single year. It's amazing work. Big thanks to Greg Garza for taking some time for us tonight. It's time for the 3-4-3, though, right now, which is brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about the game that I love. Let's talk about the local side. I love Georgia high school soccer. We've got a ton to talk about. The playoffs started tonight. It was 4A, 5A, 6A girls, also 1A Division II girls. One boys match today. Marietta defeated Lowndes 7-1. I'm going to run through scores from the games that happened tonight. Told you earlier, we were at Lassiter, 5-0 win over Johns Creek. Really strong performance from the Trojans in that one. Our player of the game was Jillian Cluth. She had three assists and a goal. Really strong performance from them. It took a while to get going. Johns Creek battled for a decent while, but first goal in the 29th minute, then the 35th, then another one before halftime, and it just continued to roll from there. Lassiter, they are moving on in the state tournament. North Paulding, 10-0 winners over Lowndes. Walton, 11-0 winners over Colquitt. Cherokee, 2-1 winners over Camden County. Mill Creek, 6-1 over Carrollton. Richmond Hill, 8-0 over Wheeler. South Gwinnett, 3-0 over Paulding County. Mountain View, 5-0 winners over Chapel Hill. Brookwood, 5-2 over Forsyth Central. Brookwood stays unbeaten on the year. North Gwinnett, 4-0 winners over Denmark. West Forsyth trying to defend their state championship, 7-2 over Parkview. Hillgrove, 9-0 over Archer. That's all 6A. 5A, Roswell 3-1 over Riverwood. McIntosh 2-0 over Dunwoody. Pope 3-0 over Lanier. Greenbrier 6-1 over Rome. Jackson County 3-1 over Thomas County Central. Habersham Central 10-0 over Lee County. Kennesaw Mountain went on the road to Glen Academy in Savannah, fell behind 1-0, ended up winning 2-1. Houston County 2-0 over Clark Central. Alexander 2-0 over Lakeside Evans. And I already mentioned the Lassiter Johns Creek score. 4A, Marist 9-0 winners over Wayne County. East side of Covington, they fell behind 1-0 on the road at Ola in Henry County, and they came back and won 7-1. Joanna Funes with five goals in that one. Northview 6-1 over Warner Robins. They were also behind 1-0 and came back to win 6-1. North Oconee 7-0 over Union Grove. Harris County 2-0 over Maynard Jackson. Pace Academy 4-0 over north side of Columbus. Allatoona 7-1 over Centennial. Cambridge 8-0 over Southeast Whitfield. Division 2 in single A, Dooley County 1-0. They stay unbeaten over Southwest Georgia STEM. GMC Prep 10-0 over Macon County. Those are all your girls' scores. That one boy score, Marietta 7-1 over Lowndes in 6A. You've got the boys 4A, 5A, 6A, and single A D2 starting tomorrow. Smaller classifications along with the private schools. That is Thursday and Friday of this week. And one thing to keep in mind about the Georgia High School tournament this year, the structure for the single A D1 through the 3As, they're not using the same format as the bigger schools in terms of region winner versus the fourth place team in another region and so on and so forth. They're actually breaking the teams out into seeds. it's not an exact science. There is some argument about it, what's the best way to do it. It's a starting point. You would avoid games like tonight with Lassiter and Johns Creek, two teams that were ranked in the coaches poll in the top seven in 5A. They wouldn't be meeting in the first round. Johns Creek would have had an opportunity to play a team that they probably would have gotten past and then moved on in the tournament later. So we'll see if it goes down and how it works. But all that starting this week all over the state of Georgia. On the local side, number two, Atlanta United 2. They play at home tomorrow night in Kennesaw hosting Carolina Core. The U18s had great success at the Generation Adidas Cup. Those players are back. The twos are bouncing back from a bad loss in Philadelphia. It sounds familiar. Number three, Clayton State. They have a new women's head soccer coach, Ricky Clark. He was the interim manager at the Houston Dash in the NWSL last season. Tons of high-level experience for Ricky. We've got an interview coming up tomorrow on the SDH Network. Four headlines from around the world quickly. Number one, the TST, the soccer tournament. The groups were drawn today. That's going to be played in early June in Cary, North Carolina. If you've watched the basketball tournament, same group that does it, the soccer tournament is all 7v7. The winning teams will win $1 million, winner takes all, in a 48-team men's tournament and a 16-team women's tournament. Hope Solo is going to field a team and play in this one. You've got teams that are representing, you know, groups of friends, but then you also have teams that are representing professional clubs like AFC Bournemouth, like Atletico Madrid, like Club America from Mexico, Plymouth Argyle from the English Championship, West Ham United. A number of teams are involved in it. It's a very cool tournament. I really enjoy watching it each and every year. That gets started in early June. You can watch on YouTube. You can also watch on ESPN. Number two, Barcelona, Dani Olmo. He scored the winning goal, 1-0 win for Barca over Mallorca today. They increased their lead in La Liga to 7 points over Real Madrid. Real Madrid plays tomorrow against Getafe, and then those two teams, Real Madrid and Barcelona, play for the Copa del Rey final this weekend in what might be Carlo Ancelotti's last game with Real Madrid. Number three on the headlines, U.S. men's national team head coach Mauricio Pochettino. He stressed the importance of picking players with a strong mentality for the Gold Cup roster this summer. Quote, "The right mindset must be there because we need to compete for our flag, our country." Unquote. Need to see better performance, need to see better mentality than we saw in the Nations League, where they struggled and did not win in the semifinals or in the third place match. They will play Trinidad and Tobago, Saudi Arabia, and Haiti in the group stage of the tournament, trying to get into the knockout round. And again, hopefully a better performance can get some positive momentum going. Number four, let's stay with another U.S. national team. Let's go to the women's futsal national team. Head coach Diego Barato has selected his 14-player roster for the first ever 2025 CONCACAF W Futsal Championship. It's going to be held April 28th through May 4th. In Guatemala City in Guatemala. The two finalists in the tournament, they will qualify for the first ever FIFA Women's Futsal World Cup. That's going to be in November and December in the Philippines. There is a local angle to this. Carly Banks, who graduated from Stars Mill, Peachtree City native. She is a key player in the team. She captained the team in pre-tournament friendlies. Carly is an incredibly talented player, and futsal is such a good spot for her. She is killing it right now. She's actually playing in the TST as well this summer, but the broadcast details are going to be announced soon. If you haven't seen high-level futsal, highly, highly recommended. Make sure you're following me on social media at Longshoe. I'll share that when it goes out. We'll all be rooting Carly Banks on and the U.S. Women's Futsal National Team. Three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Number one, Matt Fondi, a former professional, he has partnered with a friend of his, Cody Pillen. They have founded a group in Oakland, California called Oakland Genesis. It's a club that uses soccer as a tool to empower, educate, and inspire young players. And it's not just on the field, but also academically. So everything in the club is free. They go out and they raise the money to pay for it. Each participant has access to three adults, a soccer coach, an academic coach, and a mentor. Seven boys and three girls teams, 225 players that they're working with at that level. 400 kids take part in after school programming. Another recreational school program for elementary, middle, and high school involves 800 more. 100% of their kids graduate from high school and 100% are prepared to go to college. Not all of them go on to college, but having that option is very, very important. Amazing work from Matt Fondi and Cody Pillen in Oakland, California. Number two, a club in the third division in Spain, Unión Deportiva Ibiza. It'd be nice to play in Ibiza, wouldn't it? They're in the third division. They won a match on Saturday. It happened to be their manager, Paco Jiménez's birthday. And he had to do media after the game. He did his interviews. He comes into the locker room. The club shared the video. And he comes around the corner, and the players have a cake and candles for him. And it was such a cool moment. Like, he lost it. He breaks down. This is a team that's trying to earn promotion to the second tier in La Liga. Really, really cool moment for a great player in the game who's also becoming a great manager at Unión Deportiva Ibiza. Go find that on Twitter, on Blue Sky, wherever you find your videos these days. Number three, last one on the things that make me smile, Georgia Impact. They are launching a pro team in the new WPSL Pro Second Division Professional League. It's going to start next fall after the Men's World Cup. They're based in Canton. They play at Cherokee High School right now. They will be playing this summer in the WPSL Amateur League. They'll be playing teams from the Atlanta area and from Chattanooga. Really good level of soccer. Georgia Impact is a group that does a lot of after-school programming and a lot of great things in the community as well. Having a second division professional league and having a team here locally, that gives more girls the opportunity to see that dream of being professional soccer players. And they can start that dream with the Georgia Impact. And some of them will move from the amateur team this summer on to that professional team next year. Cannot wait to see it. We will be out there calling those games this summer. Really look forward to it. Hopefully we see some of you in the stands. Hopefully we see some of you back at Mercedes-Benz Stadium when Atlanta United is back, but that's not this weekend. That's the following weekend. This weekend, it's a trip to Orlando. Pre-game coverage will start at 6 o'clock on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app with Abe Gordon with Madison Cruz. Kickoff will be at about 7:15 on the station with Mike Conti and myself at Inter & Co. Stadium in Central Florida. Hopefully you can join us there, and I'll be back next week for another edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Adios, everybody.